a chance, and it was Aldridge and Hutton. 1-0.
Tuesday Night Sport on Near FM, every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Delighted to say, on the line we have Emmett Malone of the Irish Times. How are you doing, Emmett?
I'm good, thanks, and you?
Not too bad. We've entered that week. It's come down to the crunch games against Germany and Poland. Any team news, I suppose? There's been plenty of injuries, plenty of people who are suspended. Any news today from the training session out in, it's not Malahide anymore, it's the new campus, is that right?
Abbottstown, yes. Abbottstown. Yeah, or I think they call it something else now, but I think the main news really was that Wes Hooland didn't train. He had a heel injury that he picked up in the game against Leicester at the weekend, and he's pretty sore, he's struggling with it a bit, and they're talking about giving him another 24 hours to see what he can play. So on top of everything else that's happened over the last few days, it's pretty bad news. But they're by Roy Keane, who does today. He was putting a brave face on it all, saying that he was hopeful enough, saying that the heel really was the only issue with Houlihan, in that he's been playing quite a lot of games for his club lately. He's fairly fit, so if the heel cleared up, he could just go straight back in, which obviously isn't the case, say, with James Coleman, who they were really hanging on for, but who has a kind of, you know, hamstring problem, has this underlying difficulty. He hasn't played a competitive game in 3 or 4 weeks, so you know the match fitness would clearly be an issue with him. So Houlihan may still make it in. Coleman looks a lost cause, although they haven't quite given up on him yet. They're probably looking more at Poland with him, but even that looks a bit unlikely at this stage. You know about the suspensions, and nothing else. We're down to the bare bones, I guess you'd say, really, you know?
Yeah, just looking at the defence, it looks like a possible Cyrus Christie, is it, at right back with O'Shea and Keogh as the two centre-halves, and Robbie Brady at left back?
Yeah, I think that's the way it's headed at the moment, all right, yeah. Keane was asked today about Myler, and Myler did quite well there against Germany in Gelsenkirchen last year, but he would be more likely, I think, given how strapped we are in central midfield, to sit in there somewhere. Cyrus Christie, having made a decent enough competitive debut against Gibraltar, one goal, one pretty important clearing header, avoided the humiliation of us, certainly contributed to us avoiding the humiliation, conceding a goal to Gibraltar, but what a step up. Keogh comes in, done well for us a few times there before. O'Shea, obviously, an old hand, and a late equaliser in Germany, an amazing kind of occasion for him in his 100th cap. But really, both full-backs look like, you know, they'll have us biting their nails for the night. I mean, Brady has done pretty well there, but I don't think he'll have been tested the way he'll be on Thursday evening. Cyrus Christie coming in and playing his second competitive game there, an awful lot will hang on how they hold up to it all.
Yeah, with that in mind, do you expect that maybe a pretty defensive central midfield of McCarthy, Myler and Hendrick, very physical, I suppose, a strong midfield in that case, is likely to be the one that he goes with?
Yeah, I think so. I think what he'll do, and you know, it's complete, you know, speculation really at this stage, because O'Neill doesn't give too much away, and even less away. I think he'll revert to 4-5-1. I think we'll probably see Walters switch back out to the right. And he has some choices to make on the other side, because he has some problems. McGeady hasn't played in quite a while. He'll want Houlihan in the team, I think. O'Neill said at one stage about a year ago that Houlihan wasn't somebody you would kind of trust in big away games, and I think in a sense, like, you know, even though obviously this is a home game, there's something of the away game about it. Yeah. We're kind of underdogs, we're going to be lacking the ball a lot of the time, we're going to be kind of trying to hit them on the break, and in a sense, I think this would kind of fall into the sort of class of the sort of game he was thinking about, and yet Houlihan has done so well for us over the last year that he's become more important and has probably won more Martin O'Neill's trust in the games that he's played. I think he'll want him in there, but I don't think we can play as narrowly as we did in the last couple of games with sort of, you know, either a 4-3-3 or a midfield diamond, whichever way you want to look at it. So I think we might have Houlihan playing out on the left-hand side. Now, that's going to be a challenge for Houlihan, because he moves around a lot. He's used to having a bit of kind of license to wander. But it's going to take a fair bit of discipline, because he's going to have, you know, have to shoulder some of the defensive responsibility, particularly seeing as he's playing in front of Robbie Brady, who's not that experienced himself as a left back. So it's all a big ask, it's all a big risk, and it could be in the end that he goes a different way in the hope of, you know, blocking that channel a bit more effectively. But we'll see. I think that's probably the most logical kind of, or the most obvious way, certainly. I mean, O'Neill has surprised us with nearly every team selection to some extent. I think in central midfield it will be those three, and I think that, you know, the only question really is who's the kind of direct swap for the Whelan holding role.
Yeah, it could be argued, I suppose, in regard to Wes Hoolan, that his best work was the second half against Poland, where he did, instead of playing just behind the striker, he did move out to the wing. And although he doesn't offer a huge amount of protection for the fullback, and that was a time where we were chasing the game, which probably won't be the dynamic on Thursday night. Do you think that one of the midfielders like Jeff Hendrick will be given the job of maybe just filling that gap if Robbie Brady does go forward to be an insurance?
I certainly think that will be part of the idea. I think the difficulty with that is obviously that you kind of weaken your central area.
Yeah.
The Germans will be looking for opportunities to exploit wherever we leave weakness. They're capable. They're not a team that's kind of limited to doing things one way or the other. Remember the European Championships in 2012, where they absolutely annihilated, I think it was Greece, down the flanks, and then switched the focus of their play completely in the next game and went through the middle against Italy. I think I might say that. They're a very flexible team. They have a lot of options there, and the difficulty is absolutely. I think he could have, you know, Hendrick and Myler kind of shifting out. I think Myler is most likely to play that Whelan role, but it's going to take remarkable resilience from all of the players to hold them at bay. That all said, I mean we got an unlikely result out there. It was a very 94-minute equaliser by O'Shea, but actually in the last 10 or 15 minutes we were pressing. We had a couple of other chances, but it was one a few minutes earlier where when it passed I really thought that would be it. But this German team, they do concede some goals. I mean, they're the highest conceding top team in a group. They've conceded 7, 2 more than us. So O'Neill, I think, will feel that there's some hope, you know, and it's a tall order, but there is some hope of perhaps getting at them and maybe scoring a goal.
And do you think it'll be one of those nights where, although everyone will be watching the game, there will be one eye on the game in Glasgow?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, Martin O'Neill has made absolutely no secret of the fact that he takes losing both games now and the Poles beating Scotland, which would put us in the playoffs. The likelihood is, though it's not a certainty, that we'd be seeded in those playoffs. And if you look at a couple of the teams we could get, you know, well, what you would say is, with no disrespect to them, we would have no complaints if we didn't qualify. So, he would certainly be looking at that. Keane was asked about it today, was kind of, you know, slightly touchier about it, you know, came out with the sort of stuff you would expect him to talk about, you know, like, you know, aiming second place, aiming for 6 points, you know. Well, these are all very, you know, nice things to say and very professional and everything, but I think when it boils down to it, I think O'Neill's attitude is probably the one that, you know, more closely reflects the private thinking of the management team. I think if they can get something out of the Germany game, if they can go to Poland aiming for a win that would put us in second place, that would be the ideal scenario with the place in the playoffs already booked.
Yeah.
But I think probably that as O'Neill suggests, they take going there on Sunday with it being a completely dead rubber.
And I'm just wondering, just changing the conversation a little bit, the goalkeeping situation seems a strange one to me, that we have three goalkeepers and none of them are, as far as I know, are playing week in, week out.
No.
Yet Westwood, who's playing, seems to be playing all the time at the moment, is left out. Has Martin O'Neill been asked about that, or what's the situation there?
He was asked about it yesterday and suggested that Westwood was injured, that he picked up a knock in the game on Saturday, and that the club had asked that he stay behind. I don't think Westwood is his top choice. I think if he was on an ongoing basis and was playing games from reason to be, then maybe he would have pushed harder to have him relief.
Yeah.
But in the circumstances, yeah, he seemed quite content to accept that that Westwood was ruled out. I don't know the extent of it, but that was certainly O'Neill's reply. Somebody asked in with much the same kind of sense of bewilderment that, that you just asked about it yesterday, you know. So it hadn't been made public up until that point. And, yeah, it is a very difficult situation for us. You know, I thought last month there was a real case to be made for Darren Randolph going in. He'd played three games, I think it was, for West Ham, played very well. Had played in the Europa League before the start of the season. You know, he was doing okay and was confident. I think the thing about that was that even last month, or very much last month, O'Neill had these games in mind, and I always felt that Given was going to be the one that he used in them. And we'll see now whether he's right or not.
Yeah, and it's the one position on the pitch where match practice and sharpness really does, it counts for everything.
Absolutely. I mean, Trap Tony used to go on about this all the time, but he felt it was more important for a goalkeeper to be playing regularly. It's a kind of strange phenomenon. You wouldn't think that match fitness or whatever would be quite the same issue as it is for players in other positions. Yeah. But it's a big thing, and confidence is a big thing. And I can't imagine you build very much confidence playing the odd reserve game and sit on the bench and watching somebody play your position week in, week out. Obviously, there's more opportunities for other players to get in or get, you know, rotate in and out. We've seen Cyrus Christie come over last time. He played twice for Derby at that stage. Plays well in Gibraltar. He's played all five games for Derby since. They haven't lost a game. Whatever else is going on here, somebody like him will go into this game confident. How long that lasts, we can only wait and see. But for Given, I know he's like a hugely experienced professional, and that counts for an awful lot in these situations. But, you know, I think it would be generally accepted he's not quite the goalkeeper he was 5, 8, 10 years ago.
And another area that seems strange to me is the whole Delaney issue. Damien Delaney, yeah, apologies. Yeah. That seems to be coming back to bite us here, because we really are, we are thin on the ground at centre-halves, especially with Clark and Wilson injured as well.
Yeah, we were talking about this today amongst ourselves. It really is a game where you could do with Damien Delaney being available. I mean, Richard Kill, I think O'Neill has a kind of soft spot for, and I don't think he will mind too much about going back to him. He hasn't kind of let us down in the past, as they say. But Delaney has been having a great season and a half, two seasons at Crystal Palace. I think O'Neill certainly, I mean, there was a little bit of a gap between the two versions of events, between the two. I think possibly Delaney misunderstood, or the account he read of what O'Neill said was slightly misrepresented what O'Neill said. But O'Neill essentially said that, you know, Delaney didn't want to go to the States at the end of last year, at the end of last season. He sort of suggested that he didn't want to come in and sit on the bench all the time. By the time Delaney was reacting to that, the suggestion was that O'Neill had said, you know, that Delaney wanted to be guaranteed a place, which isn't what O'Neill said, but it is kind of what Delaney reacted to. And I wouldn't say that exchange helped matters between the pair of them. Some sympathy for Delaney. He was a long time in the wilderness, and at the clubs he was at, in the divisions that he was at, you know, he probably had few enough complaints about that. But for him to come back in, for him to have the, you know, to finish his career, you know, over, and I'm not suggesting that it's over yet, but the at the tail end of his career, really, to be playing so phenomenally well for Crystal Palace in a team that's going so well, and he's an absolutely leading figure in that, I think he must have really hoped that that he would add to his tally of caps. But I really kind of hate seeing guys, you know, decide that they, in these circumstances, that they'll make themselves unavailable, or that they, you know, that they want to that they want to concentrate in their club careers or whatever. But, you know, I just do think it's unfortunate here that he wasn't going to figure in O'Neill's team regularly, and he didn't feel that he could kind of, there was a whole lot to be gained by coming in and being a squad member the whole time.
And finally, if we're talking again this time next Tuesday, do you think we'll be on our way to a playoff, or is it likely to be fourth or second, or is the playoff the most likely?
Do you know what? I don't know. I think I'm sceptical. I don't think it's going to be second. I think it's going to be a playoff, or we'll be out. I think that a lot depends, obviously, on what happens in Glasgow on Thursday night. Do you know what? under normal circumstances, full team, everyone is fit, everyone is available. I just kind of fancy us to do something against Germany, but it's just so hard to see. I think a lot, they've already qualified. I think a lot depends on their state of mind when they come here, right? The Germans, you know, I used to back the Germans a lot to beat weak teams by an awful lot of goals, because other sides, you know, ease up and just, you know, once they've scored four against, a minnow, they just think, well, that's it, job done. But the Germans would win 8-9-0, you know, because they just keep going. And I think we have to hope that that's not their mentality on Thursday night. They've talked a lot over the last few days about wanting to finish the group with two wins. They're certainly capable of it, to judge by their performances lately. We're not helped by the fact that Lewandowski seems to be in the absolute form in his life. So I think, like everybody else at this stage, I'd probably take the Scots losing and whatever becomes of us after that. I think we're going to struggle against the Germans. I think we might get a draw out in Poland, but that wouldn't really be enough if the Scots take 6 points.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks very much, Emmett, and hopefully chat to you next week.
Great stuff. Take care.
Thanks very much.
By Sanson, it goes Aldridge, and Hutton! 1-0!
Tuesday Night Sport on Near FM, every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m.